Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we dive into the sham impeachment with exclusive analysis and insight, and we give you firsthand analysis of what's going on with the gun-grabbing Democrats in Virginia. Buckle up. We got a great show in store for you. I know you guys have tons of questions about impeachment, and we have the answers. Before we go any further, type in Charlie Kirk Show, your podcast provider, whatever it might be. Make sure that subscribe button is pushed. Give us those 5-star ratings and leave us a review. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show. We have some insight and analysis for you today about this sham impeachment, and we're going to dive into the gun-grabbing Democrats in the state of Virginia. Over 22,000 patriotic Americans showed up in protest against Virginia's attempt to try to confiscate weapons from constitution-loving, freedom-loving, law-abiding citizens. So as you're listening to this, today's the big day. Today is when the trial officially begins of the sham impeachment of Donald Trump. Prior to this, on Monday, the Senate President, Mitch McConnell, presented the rules of impeachment. Basically, the impeachment resolution shortened the trial's opening arguments to 2 days per side. The resolution presented by Senator Mitch McConnell gives Democrats 7 impeachment managers. Schiff, Nadler, Jeffries, Garcia, Lofgren, Demings, and Crow. That's quite a fun group of people. It's 7. Not exactly people that I would want to be defending the United States Constitution. All Democrats, all far left-wing radicals that have wanted to destroy this presidency from the very beginning. It gives them 24 hours each to make their own opening arguments over 2 days. This raises the prospect that the trial will have 12-hour days and go late into the night. Compared to the Clinton impeachment trial, when the 24 hours were split over a 4-day period. So the process starting today will look like this. House managers will be given roughly 24 hours to make their case against the president. The president's counsel will be given 24 hours to respond. This will likely happen in 12-hour chunks of time. After that, senators will be given 16 hours to ask questions, but they have to ask questions in writing. And by the way, a prior episode of this, the Senator Ted Cruz interview, goes into great detail. So I encourage you to go back on the Charlie Kirk Show archives, download those episodes and check it out. And then once they write their questions in, the Senate will consider, quote, the question of whether it shall be in order to consider and debate under the impeachment rules any motion to subpoena witnesses or documents, end quote. So basically, you're going to see a iteration after iteration of the same arguments that were presented in the House now in summary fashion in front of the Senate. Of course, Senator Bernie Sanders, Senator Amy Klobuchar, and Senator Elizabeth Warren, they are going to be quarantined behind their desk when they really want to be running for the presidency in South Carolina, New Hampshire, and Iowa. I will dive into why that is so ironic and the actual forces behind that in just 1 second. And guess what? The left, they are talking about how this is a constitutional crisis. I'm so sick of hearing about this. Let's talk about real constitutional crises in our country's history. But first, the Super Bowl matchup is set. I'm so fired up about this. Niners Chiefs, you got Patrick Mahomes versus my homie, Jimmy Garoppolo. I know it's Mahomes, not Mahomie. Mr. Producer is getting upset. Too many State Farm commercials for this guy. State Farm is not a sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, but betonline.ag is. So check out betonline.ag and use that promo code podcast1. I got the Niners. Jimmy Garoppolo grew up in the suburbs of Chicago. He went to Rolling Meadows High School. I went to Wheeling High School. Go Jimmy, go. Go 49ers. They got the best defensive line in all of football. And it's kind of sad. This is the last football game on the entire calendar. We got 2 weeks to wait for it. It's the big show, the Super Bowl down in Miami. I hope you guys all enjoy it. And if you guys want to get in on the action, you guys can basically place a wager on everything based on who's going to win the coin toss, who's going to get the first kick, who's going to score first. Is it going to be a touchdown? Is it going to be a field goal? All of that you guys can check out on betonline.ag. We got NBA regular season basketball in the month of January. Not exactly very compelling stuff. So if that interests you, go to betonline.ag. Use that promo code podcast1. College basketball, we got Butler at Villanova, Illinois at Michigan, Kentucky at Texas Tech. I'm a little bit upset that football is over, but baseball is around the corner. And you guys got to stay very interested in all this by going to betonline.ag. Use that promo code podcast1. And I just got to say one more time, what a great national championship game that was. LSU Clemson, the best college football quarterback I have ever seen, Joe Burrow. I love his style. I love his form. I love his way he carries himself. He was warmly greeted by the President of the United States at the White House. I think Joe Burrow is a superstar, the likes of which we have not seen in the great sport of football in some time. If he stays healthy and he just gets a good offensive coordinator around him, he could probably be one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the sport, which that current title goes to Tom Brady. Prior to that, Joe Montana. Just think, Joe Montana, Tom Brady, Joe Burrow. Those are three quarterbacks I would want to win a game with, and probably the three best quarterbacks of all time. And runners-up, I would have to say, Johnny Unitas, Dan Marino. Maybe, I don't think Steve Young is up there. He was okay, but he was not there. I think Joe Montana was so smooth. Tom Brady, so smooth. Peyton Manning, might be Mr. Producer saying Brett Favre. You know, Brett Favre is the all-time leader in touchdown passes and interceptions. That is a lesson for all of you, that no matter how much you might not succeed, you can still succeed. Brett Favre did win a Super Bowl, though, at the Green Bay Packers, one of the best of all time. And if you guys disagree with this, well, then do something about it. Go to betonline.ag, use that promo code podcast1. Betonline.ag, use that promo code podcast1. So now we have the radical Democrats claiming that we have a constitutional crisis in our country. This is a constitutional crisis, the likes of which the country has never seen. Well, here are three constitutional crises that were legitimate. How about number one? The first prize goes to you. When seven states seceded between Lincoln's election in November of 1860 and his inauguration in March of 1861. Is that really something the country has never seen before just because radical Democrats want to impeach a president of the United States? Or how about the 1876 presidential election? This one came to mind. When four states could not agree on electoral votes between Samuel Tilden and Rutherford B. Hayes. Did you know a special commission of Congress and Supreme Court members decided on Rutherford B. Hayes, which was bad news as it pulled federal troops out of the South, ending Reconstruction, letting Democrats enact black codes, Jim Crow laws, and the KKK. And third, another constitutional crisis that the Democrats will not mention, that were actual constitutional crises. During the Korean War, a steel strike occurred in 1952. Truman had the federal government nationalize the steel industry, claiming it was inherent power during wartime. The Supreme Court said no, so Truman just pressured labor and management to hurry up and come to an agreement. Those are three actual examples of a constitutional crisis, unlike this nonsense of when they're trying to impeach the president, which is a nice segue to President Trump's defense memo. Here's an outline of what the president's defense will be, as argued by his counsel, Pat Cipollone, Jay Sekulow, Ken Starr, Alan Dershowitz, and by the way, we have Ken Starr on the Charlie Kirk Show coming up tomorrow, so make sure you guys are subscribed, give us those five-star ratings, and leave us a review. Robert Ray, Pam Bondi, Pat Philbin, and Mike Papura. It begins by saying the following. The articles of impeachment now before the Senate are an affront to the Constitution and to our democratic institutions. End quote. I could not agree more. Molly Hemingway summarized the two responses to the Democrats' charges by saying the following. The memo says abuse of power theory supplants constitutional standard of needing an actual crime. The prior impeachments at least had an allegation of actual crime, though we should probably note that the law Johnson was accused of breaking was itself constitutionally shaking. That's not Lyndon Baines Johnson. That goes all the way back to the impeachment of Andrew Johnson about 150 years ago. So I talked about this obstruction of Congress violation on the Steve Hilton show. Let's play a small clip of me commenting on this on Fox News with Steve Hilton.
President Trump's being impeached for obstruction of Congress. That's why he was elected.
Exactly.
I hate Congress. Like, they had an 8% approval rating.
I think you got that fact wrong, Charlie. I looked at that same report. It's 9.
But one final point on this, which is Pelosi acts as if we live in a parliamentary system. She acts as if he's prime minister, not president. We have a presidential republic, two equal branches. Tension is normal. You don't get to impeach a president because you don't want him to be there. You don't get to impeach a president because you don't like his
tweeting. But the reason they're doing it is they know they can't win in 2020.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
So next, the memo raises concerns with the Democrats leading the charge, including flagging Adam Schiff's involvement with the whistleblower and his subsequent attempt at a cover-up of that involvement. It notes that Democrats truly began the push for impeachment on or even before Inauguration Day. I am so glad the president's defense is making this argument. I've talked about this so many times. I have talked about how the ruling class is doing everything they possibly can to challenge President Trump's successful presidency. In fact, I'm going to go to another interview over the weekend. I've been very busy. It was one of my favorite interviews that I've done. I got great response of my interview with Trish Regan from Fox Business, where I talk about how President Trump is challenging the orthodoxy of the ruling class. And so, yes, America is divided, but it's not divided the way you think. It's not right versus left. It's not Christian versus atheist. It's not conservative versus liberal. It's ruling class versus the citizens. It is the kingdom of Washington, D.C., and they've wanted to impeach this president since minute 17. Not even since day one. Since minute 17, they've wanted this 19. Is it minute 19? I'm sorry, an extra 2 minutes. They gave him an extra 2 minutes versus what I just did, the Washington Post. And if you're not familiar with what I'm saying, the Washington Post, 19 minutes after he was elected, I'm sorry, sworn in as President of the United States. And as we are recording this episode right here, right now, it was exactly 3 years ago. In fact, that's a great tweet. We should tweet that out. 3 years ago, the impeachment of Donald Trump began. 3 years ago. I was there on that beautiful January day where hundreds of thousands of people went to Washington, D.C. And yes, the crowds were very big to celebrate the inauguration of President Donald Trump. So let's play this clip of myself on Trish Regan. Again, I got great response to this. I thought I summarized it quite well. Let's play the clip.
So we have to look at this presidency from 40 or 50 years from now. And people look at just the success that has been achieved in 3 short years. This will go down as one of the most successful presidencies in American history and definitely in this era that we're looking at. Mm-hmm. However, you have power-hungry elites that are so committed to trying to destroy this presidency. And I've done a lot of thinking and writing about this, Trish, mm-hmm. and I get asked the question a lot, why are they so committed to it? And I finally have come to the conclusion that they're worried more than anything else that their practices over the last 40 years are now being exposed as a farce. That what they've done to this country is being exposed, that an unorthodox first-time politician is revealing that they've been destroying this country from within while he's revitalizing it.
So look, the left's articles of impeachment are so beyond broad. I mean, obstructing Congress is a complete made-up allegation. I mean, obstructing Congress could be the president's motorcade shutting down a street outside of Washington, D.C. They're just making this up. There is understandable tension always between Article 1 and Article 2 of the Constitution of the United States, which, by the way, we're not in a parliamentary system. We did a previous episode on this, which I encourage all of you guys to subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show. Go back in the episode archives, because we did a very thorough episode where we talk about how Bill Barr, the Attorney General of the United States, and many other people have described our republic as a presidential republic, rightfully so, and not a parliamentary system. The name of the episode, which I'll be back on December 2nd, is The Democrat Scheme to Destroy the Constitution. This is a very important episode because we talk about the constitutional framework. And for those of you that guys want to dive deeper and are kind of really heady about that, please go into that. It's a very important episode where we talk about it. But what's everyone missing about this impeachment is everything they are accusing the president of is actually a tactic of blame shifting. There's a psychological word for this, and we are going to give you an analysis on this that no one else has. We're going to go a level deeper in just 1 second. But first, did you know 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35? The good news? With today's advancements in science, Keeps offers proven treatments that can combat the symptoms of hair loss and help you keep the hair you have at half the cost of your local pharmacy. You don't have to go broke to avoid going bald. Keeps offers generic versions of the only 2 FDA-approved hair loss products out there. Some of you may have tried them before, but probably never for this price. Plus, Keeps now offers a prescription shampoo to keep your scalp healthy too. Find out why Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors, and nearly 100,000 men trust Keeps for their hair loss prevention medication. Keeps treatments start at just $10 a month. Plus, a limited time, you can get your first month free. That's one heck of a deal for getting to keep your hair. So I personally don't have this problem. In fact, they say that hair loss runs by the great uncle in your family. There's some weird study on your mom's father. He had a full head of hair his entire life. So I'm just fine in this category. But I see some of my Turning Point alumni getting kind of thin upstairs. Getting kind of thin. Do something about it. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/Kirk to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's keeps.com/Kirk. KEEPS.com/Kirk. You might be wondering why I've lowered my volume. Because it's very important. It's keeps.com/Kirk. That's keeps.com/Kirk. So you guys might have wondered why I got very quiet in that ad read. Well, it's because I was very serious about Keeps, but also it's a psychological trick that when you lower your voice, people listen to you more intimately. Well, guess what? We're going to talk about another psychological trick. Look, this is the first impeachment to blatantly and unabashedly use psychological projection. Psychological projection is the tactic of blame shifting, where the attacker blames the victim. A psychologist, and you guys know Sigmund Freud, described it as a defense mechanism where someone denies in themselves the existence of unpleasant behavior while attributing that exact behavior to others. For example, rude and hateful people, and you guys all know them, they cut you off in traffic, they give you the finger, they throw stuff on you at the grocery store, maybe they don't do that. Rude and hateful people accuse those they don't like of being rude and hateful. A guilty child is the first one to accuse the other as, you started it, or I am not the mean one, you are. You understand the point. A bully will push other kids around the playground, but when the teacher comes out, the bully blames the victim. On a macro level, aggressor nations blame weaker nation for provoking them, thereby justifying their invasion. So if you listen to the Charlie Kirk Show, you guys all know about Stalin, but Stalin was guilty of this too. He had his friend Kirov assassinated and blamed it on the anti-Stalinists so he could kill off a million people of his political opponents. Erdogan recently did this in Turkey. Karl Marx, you guys might not know this, the father of communism, is attributed with the phrase, quote, accuse the victim of what you do, end quote, or begin, quote, accuse your opponent of what you are guilty of. If you are lying, accuse your opponent of it. If you are racist, accuse your opponent of it. If you are sexually immoral, accuse your opponent of it. If you committed voter fraud, accuse your opponent of it. If you spread fake news, accuse your opponent of it. If you receive millions from globalist and Hollywood elites, accuse your opponent of being controlled by the rich. Sound familiar? It is a very effective political technique. A candidate who secretly committed crimes and fears they are about to be made public will resort to publicly accusing their opponent of the exact same crimes, thus putting their opponent on the defensive and muddying the water so the public does not know who is telling the truth. This reminds me of something I think back in like April of 2010, when David Axelrod said in a piece, basically, in Chicago, there's a tradition of throwing a brick through your campaign office and then calling a press conference saying that you've been attacked. I remember reading that. This is an old Chicago tactic. If you remember, the New York Times in April 2015 ran the headline, quote, cash flowed to Clinton Foundation amid Russian-Ukraine uranium deal. In other words, Hillary colluded with Russia to sell them a fifth of the United States uranium supply in exchange for a $145 million contribution to her Clinton Foundation. And of course, she was the one that blamed Trump for colluding with the Russians. But she gets a pass, just like James Comey. But I don't know if James Comey is going to keep on getting a pass. We'll see what happens. But she gets a pass while she actually destroyed cell phones and destroyed laptops and bleach bit computers. She was obstructing justice while they accused the other side of doing it. The Democrats are a party of psychological projection. All the sins that they harbor, all the things that they have done wrong, they accuse the other side as a way to deflect from their own missteps and their own fault lines. Fox News contributor and great friend Charlie Hurt said this back in 2019, May of 2019. This whole thing is like a game of projection. Whatever they accuse President Trump of doing, we then find out that not only did President Trump not do it, but they did it. So Jonathan Turley, who was one of the few decent-minded individuals that testified in the House impeachment inquiry, basically slammed the House Judiciary Committee, suggesting congressional Democrats would be committing the high crimes and misdemeanors, not President Donald Trump with the way that they are conducting their impeachment efforts, but Congress have actually committed. He said this, if this committee elects to seek impeachment on the failure to yield to congressional demands in an oversight or impeachment investigation, it'll have to distinguish a long line of cases where prior presidents sought the very same review while withholding witnesses and documents, Turley said, according to his prepared remarks. Basing impeachment on this obstruction theory would itself be an abuse of power by Congress. So you see an entire political party that has smashed cell phones, colluded with Ukraine, has colluded with Russia, now trying to impeach the President of the United States for exactly the same thing. They are using an Alinsky tactic, Saul Alinsky tactic, author of Rules for Radicals, which is play endless offense against everyone, always, and try to accuse the other side of exactly what you are doing. So just breaking right now at the recording of this episode of the Charlie Kirk Show, news has come across the wire that Jim Jordan, John Ratcliffe, Mark Meadows, Debbie Lesko, Elise Stefanik, Lee Zeldin, and Doug Collins have all joined President Trump's legal team. So basically, all the fighters in the House of Representatives have now been appointed to Trump's legal team. I think that's actually brilliant. I think this is very, very smart for President Trump to do this for a variety of different reasons. But also, you see that Republicans are finally fighting back. They are going to defend this president both legally, politically, politically, and in every single arena possible. And the president of the United States deserves a good defense. Finally, he gets one from Ken Starr, and we have the episode coming up tomorrow. But make no mistake, the Democrats here, they're playing a very, very big risk. And so here's the great irony of this entire thing that everybody is, not everybody's missing, but I think I was one of the first people to comment on this on national news. So you have Senator Bernie Sanders, Senator Elizabeth Warren, in particular, are part of the radical wing of the Democrat Party. So let's just take that as kind of the first point. The second point is Nancy Pelosi commonly was described as saying that she only did impeachment by capitulating to the most radical elements of the Democrat Party. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Rashida Tlaib, Ayanna Pressley, Ilhan Omar. They've been saying impeach, impeach, impeach continuously. Since before President Trump was even inaugurated, people like that have been saying that Rashida Tlaib was screaming at President Donald Trump at one of his rallies back in 2016. I mean, this is something that had been a constant theme. Now, who did the squad basically endorse? Well, Ayanna Pressley is close to endorse Elizabeth Warren. She's done public events with her. But three or four of the other members of the squad, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, and Rashida Tlaib, all endorse Bernie Sanders. So by Nancy Pelosi capitulating to the most radical elements of the Democrat Party, you now have Senator Bernie Sanders and Senator Elizabeth Warren, they are not able to now leave the United States Senate for impeachment jury duty, basically, while former Vice President Joe Biden and Pete Buttigieg, the much more, I guess they call them the more, they call them the more moderate or the more reasonable wing of the Democrat Party, they're now able to basically campaign day in and day out, while they are going to have to report for jury duty with no cell phones at all. So now, since Nancy Pelosi actually listened to the radical elements of her base, the radical elements created the worst possible outcome for a radical to become president of the United States. Now, if you want to get super conspiratorial, which is if you kind of go into the where the Young Turks are saying, they're like, oh, this was all designed by Nancy Pelosi to make sure that Joe Biden could become nominee. Maybe, maybe not. That seems a little bit of a layer deep for me. But former Vice President Joe Biden is going to benefit tremendously from that in the initial. But if witnesses are going to be able to be called, he might be called to jury duty in front of his other competitors for the presidency against Senator Bernie Sanders, Senator Elizabeth Warren, and Senator Amy Klobuchar. So we are going to be monitoring this impeachment debate closely. I want to give a shout out to our exclusive interview with Senator Rand Paul, one of our prior episodes. Please download it and listen to it. He gave us some exclusive insight on this impeachment eve. I'll tell you, I would not want to be a U.S. senator. It's going to be boring to be sitting there for 12 hours a day, but I guess we're all going to watch it on cable news, and they're going to have no access to phones and those old, uncomfortable Senate chairs. That's not going to be very much fun for them, but I guess what? I don't have much sympathy for the ruling class. Most of the senators have kind of cooperatively managed the decline of our country over the last 30, 40 years. And now those same managers of the decline of America are now the impeachment managers of this impeachment. But they also want to remove the very president who has revitalized the American dream. And what just frustrates me the most is America is finally energy independent. We killed Soleimani. We've killed the ISIS leader. We're ending the endless wars. We're managing, finally, we're coming up with some sort of solution to the illegal immigration crisis. We're in the best economy in American history. Wages are going up. Lowest ever Black, Hispanic, Asian, female unemployment, lowest youth employment in 60 years. We're not going into a recession, everybody. Newsflash. We actually might be going into another growth spurt. We're going to see the Dow go up to 30,000, which is unbelievable. We just signed a China trade deal. We have the USMCA about to be ratified. We have Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, 150 circuit court judges. I mean, have you ever seen anything like this? This is an unbelievable, unprecedented record of success. We have right to try, prison reform, VA Accountability Act. Our military is finally totally rebuilt. We have more jobs than we have people willing to fill them. It's an incredible renaissance happening in our country. Meanwhile, the ruling class, they are continuing their pathological destruction of this president because he cannot be controlled. He cannot be bought. And he's actually doing what he said he was going to do. And never forget, the ruling class was never terrified or afraid that Donald Trump was going to fail. They were horrified that he might actually succeed. If you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business. This is a great product I want to talk to you about at Turning Point USA and at the podcast. We've been going over a lot of numbers, kind of doing our 2020 planning here. And that's why all of you guys should subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show. It makes our planning a lot easier. But I can tell you that NetSuite by Oracle has set to solve the problem of not knowing your numbers and not knowing your business. Most companies don't have a clear picture of their finances, and that's why many businesses fail. The question for any business owner out there is, are you confident that you've got the right numbers at your fingertips? I've done a personal demo of NetSuite, and I can tell you, having bad information or no information or flying blind, it's really something that's not acceptable. Serious entrepreneurs and finance teams run on NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. NetSuite offers a full picture of all your finances all in one place, in real time, right from your phone or your desktop. No more guessing, no more worry that what you don't know could kill your company. That's why NetSuite customers grow 3 times faster than the S&P 500, and you can too. Schedule your free demo right now and receive their free guide, 7 Key Strategies to Grow Your Profits. I'm telling you guys, got to check it out. It was a terrific thing. It's right now. You go to netsuite.com/Kirk. You pull out your phone, go to netsuite.com/Kirk. It's a free demo, and get your free guide today at netsuite.com/Kirk. That's netsuite.com/Kirk. So there's a huge amount of protests happening in Virginia for good reason, because the Virginia anti-freedom, anti-constitution, anti-American Democrats are doing everything they possibly can to confiscate your weapons and to try to get in the way of law-abiding Americans be able to protect themselves. So 3 bills passed the state Senate last Thursday. A limit to 1 handgun purchase per month. Another one that's a requirement for universal background checks on gun sales, and another that would be a rule allowing localities to ban guns in some public areas. A proposal for a, quote, red flag law, which would allow authorities to temporarily take guns away from anyone deemed dangerous to themselves or others, is also being considered. Other proposals, Democrats and Blackface Northam, and I only say blackface because this guy, he went through the whole blackface scandal last year, and I believe that everyone deserves redemption and a chance of forgiveness, but he was a coward the way he handled it. He never owned up to whether he was wearing the KKK hood or the blackface, and also his abortion stance, which actually, let's play his abortion stance right now. Just so you understand, this gun-grabbing radical, this anti-American, anti-life, anti-baby radical, believes the following on abortion. It is so horrific. I cannot believe that a sitting office holder believes this. Play tape.
You know, when we talk about third trimester abortions, these are done with the consent of obviously the mother, with the consent of the physicians, more than one physician, by the way. And it's done in cases where there may be severe deformities. There may be a fetus that's non-viable. So in this particular example, if a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother. So I think this was really blown out of proportion. But again, we want the government not to be involved in these types of decisions. We want the decision to be made by the mothers and their providers. And this is why, Julie, that legislators, most of whom are men, by the way, shouldn't be telling a woman what she should and shouldn't be doing with her body.
So there he is saying that a mother should be able to deliver a child, relax the child, and then the decision will be made. Absolutely reprehensible. And now he's going after people's guns. By the way, this is all happening because of states' proximity to the cancer in our country. And the cancer in our country is the ruling class. The wealthiest counties in America, the places that hate our country the most, is, but people in both political parties, by the way, if you're located near Washington, D.C., you have an above average likelihood to want to destroy our country, confiscate the guns, shred the Constitution. Who cares if we have endless wars overseas that don't represent the morals or values of America? Who cares if, why do these people in the hinterlands need their guns? It makes us feel good. The ruling class, they always, geography is culture. Never forget that. And the culture of Washington, D.C., they don't have patriotic values. What do they create? They're the ones that live in the best counties, the wealthiest counties, I should say, in Maryland, the wealthiest counties in Virginia. And that is what has turned Virginia into an anti-freedom, Northern Virginia, into an anti-freedom, anti-liberty, anti-constitution state. So just as a side note, some of these counties in West Virginia and the Senate Judiciary Committee from the West Virginia Senate, Charles Trump, no relation to the President of the United States, he's inviting Virginia counties to come home to West Virginia, basically saying that, hey, here's a life raft so you guys can actually protect your constitutional freedoms and liberties. This should be a warning sign to every politician that goes after Americans' guns. If you come after Americans' guns, your political future is really going to be put in jeopardy. And I guess, and in some ways, this is a bad argument for term limits. I'm a huge term limits fan. One of the reasons why Governor Ralph Northam doesn't care is because he doesn't have to run for re-election for governor. That's why he doesn't care. So he's just doing everything possibly progressive to make his name, to clear his name in the ruling class and the cocktail party crowd in Washington, around Washington, D.C., because he was shown to be a racist, either wearing blackface or wearing a KKK hood. That's why he's doing this. So I'm a big fan of term limits, but this is an example because in Virginia, you only serve 1 term as governor. You can't run for re-election, only 1 term. So, but anyway, so the media is saying, oh my goodness, a bunch of white supremacists, there's a bunch of, you know, racist people in Richmond. Well, first of all, if you actually listen to some of this tape, let's listen to this tape of a black individual that visited this rally in Richmond, Virginia. 22,000 people showed up to defend their constitutional liberties and freedoms. Let's play tape.
The real reason I'm out here is I do not support in any way, shape, or form Governor Northam's and the Democrats' gun control. What I also don't support is the fact that every news piece you've seen on this weekend, they've always brought up the issue of race as though it's nothing but white rednecks and hillbillies out here who care for the Second Amendment, when actually Black Americans, Asian Americans, Hispanic Americans, Americans in general care about the Second Amendment. I work at a gun store part-time, and I can't tell you the number of customers I see of all races, all colors, all creeds, who care about the Second Amendment and who just want to peaceably live their lives, enjoy their rights, and the Second Amendment.
So just to understand, gun control is racist. Gun control is racist. I'm going to make the argument for that right now. Disarming people has a racist and bigoted past. Did you know in 1865, people don't know this, Democrats, the same Democrats that are trying to take these guns, did you know in 1865, the same Democrats that are trying to take our guns away today passed black codes? Basically, the code said this, the Democrats passed this, that no black person shall carry or keep firearms or ammunition. That's what the racist thought in 1865. They're also trying to take our gun today. Democrats haven't changed much. So back in 1756, Virginia tried to disarm Catholics, and it basically this is a pejorative towards Catholics. I wouldn't use this term. We love our Catholic friends, but it said an act for disarming papists. I wouldn't use that term, but it was a term back then that was used as a pejorative towards Catholics. And this is a reminder that government does not grant rights. It is supposed to secure people in their God-given rights. Let's talk right now about Iran and Hong Kong. Iran does not have the freedom of speech because the people are disarmed. The government has the guns, so people live in fear that a government agent might storm down their door at any time and be able to say, oh, I don't like what you're saying, you're going to prison, or I'm going to kill you. In Hong Kong, if every single teenager that was fighting for freedom in Hong Kong had an AR-15, not to use it, but just the threat of being able to protect yourself, all of a sudden what would be protests in the streets would be a nice peaceful negotiation. When individuals are able to have weaponry, all of a sudden you're able to decentralize the control away from the ruling class and towards the people. And all of a sudden really good ideas are then allowed to have merit. So for example, we the people want to be able to speak freely. Well, what if someone in the ruling class doesn't want that? Well, it's too bad. Because if they try to take our freedom of speech away, they know deep down in the back of their head, I know this sounds silly, but they don't want an uprising. They don't want an uprising. And guess what? America is full of moral and good people. That's not going to happen anytime soon. Why? Well, because free people are able to protect themselves against potential government tyranny. This is not a popular argument to make about the Second Amendment. Far too often we get into the protection of what's, you know, enumerated in the Heller decision, which I agree with, that, you know, it's for self-protection. It's to be able for women's rights so that they can protect themselves against men that are coming after them. All those things I agree with. I'm not discounting that. People say it's for hunting. It's really not about any of that. It is about protecting other God-given rights, freedoms, and liberties against tyrants, against thugs, against bureaucrats, against dictators. And guess what? This is not some sort of theoretical argument. Right now, in Iran, there are tens of millions of people that wished they had the bargaining power of an AR-15 so that they could go up against the Iranian evil mullahs, Ahmadinejad, Khomeini. Guess what? They're smiling and smirking because, you know, the only people that have guns in Iran, the only people that have guns in Iran are the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. That's it. But if the tens of millions of Iranians had guns, I actually believe they wouldn't use them. They would form their power together and they'd say, guess what? If you don't give us these demands and if you do not leave power and if you do not allow a secular Iran, which, by the way, if you actually look at the history of Iran, Iran was much more secular under Persian rule for 2,000 years. It was never Islamic, ever. The Iranian people have been co-opted, have been hijacked by these Islamic theocratic medieval tyrants. And if you look at most countries in the Middle East, like Saudi Arabia, you look at Bahrain, you look at Oman, they have history of being Islamically ruled, those regions. Iran doesn't. Persia was never Islamic in nature. They had a cooperative relationship, I guess you could say, but Persia predated Islam. Persia was way before that. Point being is that the people in Iran, the people in Hong Kong, the people in Ukraine, the people all across the world that are under oppressive rule, I'm not saying Ukraine is under oppressive rule, but they're under corrupt rule. They're in a very, I mean, the Kremlin, for example, in Russia. It is a righteous and a moral cause to fight for your Second Amendment rights. And why would the Democrats want to go after guns? So I put this into two different categories. There are the people that really mean well, that think that, oh, we can make a more peaceful society by taking people's weapons away. I don't like talk. I think that that's a minority of them, but the real driving force is this, is they want us to shut up. They want us to stop disagreeing with them. And they know that if they can eventually take our weapons away, if they can take our capacity to defend ourselves, the capacity to be able to defend our constitutional freedoms and liberties, if they can do that, then guess what? they can finally be able to have the monopolistic type opinion, that monopolistic type control that they have been seeking far too long in our country. And guess what? They're trying to discredit this entire Virginia demonstration as being racist. I saw tons of pictures, by the way, of people being white supremacists. I saw tons of pictures, by the way, of a very diverse group of people that were there. But the racist right now are the liberals from Northern Virginia that are pushing gun control down the throat of Virginia. Those are the racists. I go back to 1865 when Democrats passed the black codes that said no black person shall carry or keep firearms or ammunition. Why? Because they knew if black people had weapons, they could defend themselves. They knew if black people had weapons, they could protest for themselves. They knew if black people had weapons, they could vote. They didn't want that. And guess what? You see the amount of new gun registrations in our country, you see something that is very, very encouraging. People of all sorts of different backgrounds. So they're doing everything they possibly can to discredit these patriots as being white supremacists when the exact opposite is actually true. It's the exact opposite. You have diverse people of all different backgrounds fighting for their Second Amendment rights. It is so important that this fight continues, and I am just disgusted by the ruling class of Virginia with what they're doing here. Everyone listening to this podcast should get engaged and get involved in this. And guess what? There's a reason why they're doing this after they've attacked the NRA as aggressively as they have. The NRA is not in a good position right now to fight, and you can tell they've actually, where have they been? They have not been front and center on this fight. It's because they've been destabilized by legal battles, by legal hurdles, by lawsuits, and all sorts of different things. Everyone listen to this episode right now. Do what you can to stand up for your Second Amendment, because every other right flows from your ability to protect yourself and stand against government tyranny. So we're going to continue to have exclusive insight here on the Charlie Kirk Show. Please type in right now, Charlie Kirk Show, and press subscribe, and make sure you guys are getting all the exclusive insight on everything that we are doing here on the Charlie Kirk Show. We got Ken Starr, we got Glenn Beck coming up later this week. Give us those 5-star ratings. And if you guys want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Get involved with the largest conservative student organization in the country. You can start a chapter and attend an event, pitch in some money, donate some money. We really appreciate it. Go to tpusa.com, and we are surging in the charts thanks to you. Get other people to download and listen to our podcast. Right now, the New York Times is beating us in the charts, and with your help by getting more people to give us 5-star ratings and to press subscribe, we'll continue to dominate on the charts. Thanks so much, everybody. Till next time, this is Charlie Kirk, host of The Charlie Kirk Show. See you soon.
Hey, what's happening, man? It's Tip T.I. Harris. Come check me out, man. Join me on my new podcast called Expeditiously, exclusively available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. Now, every week, I'm going to be talking to people who move the culture forward, who are shaping and changing the world in their own way. You're going to hear some shit that will change your life and move the needle in your world. Expeditiously is exclusively available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. Now, what I need you to do is download and subscribe to Expeditiously, with a new episode dropping every Thursday.
Do it expeditiously.